Boys, the U.S. Open on this weekend, and, you know, sometimes in the summer you look for stuff to talk about, but every once in a while when it's a golf or a tennis major, there's lots to talk about. And there's a Canadian slant in this. What Dennis is doing at Flushing Meadows is, Ryan, just tremendous. And you do wonder, you don't want to diminish or say anything bad about Milos as a result, who's not even playing due to an injury. But end of the day, the last, what, 4 or 5 years of U.S. Open, Wimbledon, whatever the event is, hey, is Milos ever going to break through? And now we see a kid who's, what, 6, 7, 8 years younger than Milos, who might beat him to the punch.
Yeah, well, I mean, as the people who bought houses in my neighborhood 10 years before me have told me, timing is everything, and it's really true. So you look at Milos coming along 5 years ago, well, look, how good did you have to be to punch through when Federer and Nadal and Djokovic, great players all still, but, you know, really, he was in the teeth of it there, and Andy Murray was really, really establishing himself at that time. So, I mean, the circumstances that Denis Shapovalov is diving into here, it is a different tennis world. And while those guys are still on any given day, remarkably, especially in the case of Federer as time goes on, are still absolutely wonderful players, it's not the same world as Milos faced. And I think the thing with Shapovalov right now, too, is it's got to bode well that, you know, he kind of, unless you're really paying close attention, really came out of nowhere for you at the Rogers Cup in Montreal. I mean, I think it's fair to say that's when most people really found out who he was and learned that he had some real game. So now he has to come to the U.S. Open, and all of a sudden everyone's going, hey, how's Shapovalov gonna do? First, he's got to qualify for it. He did that. But under the intense glare that was created by the Rogers Cup, even just to see him come here and show like this, I would say, if he gets no further, pretty impressive. And, I mean, I do think there's a little something to, you're young, you're having fun, you're not, you don't feel the weight of the world just yet, but I still think it's really remarkable that he's been able to go out there and now knowing that there's a lot of eyes on him and that, you know, it doesn't take much to get the whole country focused on you when it's a sport that, like tennis, where, you know, we don't have a whole lot of points of focus. So yeah, it really bodes well. And I mean, the best part is it sure seems like he has legit game. I mean, he's so young. I think, you know, probably Genie even more so than Milos is a bit of a cautionary tale about, you know, don't get ahead of yourselves, because we forget, we think, you know, Genie was kind of a flash in the pan. I mean, this player made the Australian Open semifinal, the French Open semifinal, and the Wimbledon final in 1 year. She really, really, really showed something in that year, I think 2014, and is subsequently, I mean, I felt like at that point it was a matter of time. It was just a matter of time before she won one, and you see what's happened in the interim. So we don't want to get ahead of ourselves with Shapovalov, but there's certainly some high praise out there for a guy who seems to be able to do a few different things and just has all kinds of athleticism.
Youngest player to be in the fourth round of a major in 28 years, or the U.S. Open at least, since Michael Chang back in the day. So that's a significant accomplishment, David. But Ryan brings up a good point in terms of expectations. And the athlete getting ahead of himself or herself is one thing. If the media does, if people do, then the challenge goes back on the athlete is to enjoy it. And Jeannie is the best example of that. Jeannie just appears, well, not appears to be, she's just miserable right now. And she even says, the weight of the world feels on my shoulders, because after that great 2014, yeah, the expectation was so high. But stay in the present. It's all the cliches you say, but for Shapovalov, it's just stay in the present. Enjoy the U.S. Open. Don't start thinking what your career is going to be like in 10 years.
Yeah, I have some thoughts on Jeannie, but we can get into that in a bit. I think with El Chapo, that's definitely a better nickname than anything we've ever given Milos.
True.
Yeah. And I wouldn't count Milos out just yet. I mean, he's only 26, but it does feel like Shapovalov's time is here. He is poised on the big stage in New York under a lot of pressure and playing with no fear. And more importantly, he's having fun on the court as well. And it helps when you're getting compared to guys like Nadal and Federer, yeah, like he was yesterday.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, and the way he played against Nadal, too, in the recent match. You know, it's not just he's beaten the odd player. He's beaten some significant world players. Isn't it interesting, too, the way tennis goes now, guys? Because we talk about here's a kid, not even 20 years old, who's just doing it so well. And yet, you see Roger Federer, Venus Williams, you see people in their mid-30s
yeah.
who mm-hmm. never, that was unheard of, that a tennis player is winning majors at 35. You get to your early 30s, okay, just about time to wrap up the career. So you still see the veterans and the youngers. This is a great time for tennis, especially you see an 18-year-old playing a 30-year-old in a major tournament. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, you really see generations collide and in a way that, you know, sometimes you don't always get in other sports. So, yeah, it's absolutely something unique. And, I mean, I've just really enjoyed the way Federer has, you know, hung around and winning another major this year. I mean, just incredible. I mean, that guy too, you just look at the thing with him is it's not even how many majors he won during the heyday. It's that you could set your watch to him showing up in the semifinal. The guy just never came out and gagged it up in the first round.
Yeah, he was never
upset. Crazy. Yep. Crazy.
Yeah. Yep. He's, as we talked about earlier, he's the Albert Pujols of tennis, right?
Sure.
Jeannie Bouchard is an interesting, you know, young lady in her career, and we've already talked a little bit about it. But to further elaborate that, Milos is still, you know, rankings change all the time, but has remained for a long time a top 10 player. So his fall off has not been dramatic. He just hasn't punched through. Jeannie has had a fall off. And one of the real problems, David, especially with her, is she's fallen off so much and her ranking has gone so far down. Everyone says, oh, she's lost, what, 11 times in the first round this year, whatever it is. Part of the reason is when your ranking is that low, you have to qualify to get in. You're playing high-ranked players right out of the get-go. It's really tough to get back up there. Any suggestions for her? What do you think happens?
Well, the thing that stands out to me the most about Jeannie is her post-game press conferences. She always sounds so confused at what's going on with her game, and she takes a very defeated tone very often, and we talked about it a little bit just now. There was those comments about her bearing the burden of Canada after losing at the Rogers Cup. And I'm not a tennis pro, but I kind of wonder if she lacks the killer instinct that someone like Serena or Sharapova has. And, you know, Canadian tennis is obviously much better when Jeannie's winning, but do you think she needs to take an extended break from her career, from her tennis career, just to kind of get things...
Well, let me flip that around then. Maybe she should take a break from her other careers and her, you know, social media and everything else that she's doing. That has been, I hate to say that because, guys, you know, when somebody is out there and they're pleasant and they're on social media and they're having a great time playing, nobody was complaining about Jeannie's social media when she was in Wimbledon and winning and a great player. And then when you fall off, it's a, yeah, I want you to focus on the tennis. So, but in her particular case, and I think we saw it with the Williams sisters at times, although two of the greatest players of all time. Remember, early in their career, they had the same kind of criticism. Look, would you focus on tennis and stop doing everything else and you'll be even that much greater? Now, Serena did that the last decade to, you know, completely for just concentrated on tennis. But my point is Jeannie's slip-off maybe a result of a lack of focus? Because you said, you know, she sounds confused. What's going on with her game? Well, how's that possible? If you're a player and you can't understand at least why you're not winning, you know what I mean, Ryan?
Well, I think it's hard to know what she's up to day to day. I mean, I don't want to leap to conclusions in terms of, you know, what she's doing with her time. I think it's easy to fall down the rabbit hole and assume because, you know, we see some posts that she's devoting, you know, a disproportionate amount of time to it. She definitely seems lost at sea to me. There's no question that this is a young lady who needs some kind of reset. And I mean, I know tennis players go through coaches, you know, quite regularly. So, I mean, who knows if it's, you know, some kind of change there, but she definitely seems to be at a point where she needs to sit down, have an honest conversation with herself and with the people closest to her about, okay, you know, let's get back to basics here. What's most important to you, assuming that is tennis? You know, what allowed you to get to the point where as a 20-year-old player, you know, you were having this success? And it's funny you mentioned the lack of killer instinct, because one of the first things that struck me about her in that year was like, she seemed to have it. Like she had the yep. fire, right? Yep.
Mm-hmm. Even when she lost the Wimbledon final, I still remember how PO'd she looked.
Yeah,
instead
exactly.
of being just like, yeah, well, what a great runner. Everything else
that's
is
right.
like, no, yeah. I'm disappointed. I should have won that tournament.
That's what struck me too, yeah. is that I thought like, nah, this girl's got the fire in the belly. And yeah, I mean, as much as I don't like to make leaps with, you know, body language or whatever, like I said, you mentioned her post-match mm-hmm. press conferences, the one here in Toronto and the one mm-hmm. in New York. I mean, there's no mistaking that this person is lost. She definitely needs some kind of reset, take some serious deep breaths, take some time off, whatever, it, you know, but get back in touch with, you know, reprioritize and then take some steps to move forward.